Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Uniquely not-for-profit and owned by ranchers, the Certified Angus Beef brand drives value in the beef supply chain from beginning to end. It's the original premium beef program, but even after 42 years, many cattlemen still have questions on how it works for them, according to Kara Lee, CAB Assistant Director of Producer Engagement.
And that's something we're very proud of as a brand, and the fact that we do not take any dollars out of the pocket of cattle producers, and instead are driving those certified Angus beef premiums back into the pocket of producers through the consumer demand that we are able to build through our partners. Obviously, having that diverse portfolio of food service, retail, international, there are a lot of different places that product can go once it leaves the packing plant. And we are unique in the fact that certified Angus beef never owns a pound of product. We never own cattle.
Through its global network of licensed partners, the company creates what's called a pull-through demand model. More consumers knowing and asking for the brand means more demand for registered Angus cattle.
When the consumer is willing to pay more, we know the packer is willing to pay more for those high-quality Angus influenced feeder calves. When the feeder is willing to pay more for those calves, we know that the commercial cow-calf producer is willing to, in turn, pay more for high quality registered Angus bulls in order to upgrade the quality of the calves that they're weaning off every year. And so while many pieces of this beef supply chain can feel very segmented, we know that they're all very directly tied together in terms of achieving that overall mission statement.
The first threshold to earn the certified Angus beef logo starts at a licensed packing plant.
Today, the way we identify those cattle as being Angus type at the packing plant is that they do have to be predominantly solid black hided. And what that means is that the entire animal from behind the point of the shoulder, above the flank, and in front of the tail head must be a solid black hide. No cattle get the brand before that hide comes off, and everyone is evaluated on an individual basis by that USDA grader for all 10 of those standards.
Of those 10, one factor stands out as the highest hurdle. 92% of eligible cattle that don't earn the brand fall short of those premium dollars for lack of adequate marbling.
The reason we talk about marbling so much, it's not because we think it's the only trait you need to pay attention to. We know that marbling is a highly heritable trait. Roughly about 40% of what influences your marbling overall is based on genetics. And we know that has to be coupled with high quality health, nutrition, overall management of those cattle. But the best way to start out with a clean slate and good potential is to start out with high quality genetics.
The message is clear from consumers. High quality beef is worth more and they're willing to pay.
The number one area where producers can make meaningful and measurable progress in terms of their own bottom line for certified Angus beef premiums by increasing that acceptance rate, and where we as a brand can really put our focus in trying to grow more supply for that growing consumer demand.
That's Kara Lee, Certified Angus Beef Assistant Director of Producer Engagement. Visit cabcattle.com or angus.org for more information. The latest World Agriculture Supply and Demand Report from the Department of Agriculture shows a continuation of strong soybean exports. Mac Marshall, Vice President of Market Intelligence at the United Soybean Board and U.S. Soybean Export Council, says USDA cut ending stocks of soybeans in the February WASD report.
The ending stocks number was certainly the metric everyone was looking for, coming down another 20 million bushels to 120 million bushels in ending stocks projected for the end of the year. Now, unlike some of the prior WASDs where that ending stocks figure was really driven by cuts in production as they rebalanced the crop size, this one was attributable to taking up the export forecast by another 20 million bushels.
Marshall says U.S. soybean farmers are currently enjoying good export demand.
We're now at 2.25 billion bushels in projected exports for the total marketing year. Highest total we've seen since November 2017. Highest total certainly this late in the marketing year. So really a reflection of the overall robust export demand.
The robust export demand can be attributed to, in part, by investments by the Soy Checkoff to find new markets and expand current markets. Marshall says the report and market reaction shows U.S. soybean farmers are still in a strong price environment heading into planting season.
I think just like the pace we've been on over the past couple months, this is really reflective of a strong market signal for more soy to go in the ground. A lot of market observers are projecting a multi-million acre increase relative to last year. So farmers are getting to price into a good environment and hopefully plant into a good pricing environment in the weeks to come.
You can keep up with the latest news from the United Soybean Board at unitedsoybean.org and Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on RFD TV. What started out as a group of 10 pork producers wanting to share with others how they care for pigs on their farms has grown into over 1,000 producers and veterinarians speaking to community groups, dietitians, and veterinary students. The Pork Checkoff's Operation Main Street program provides a glimpse inside a modern pork production farm for many who would never have that opportunity. According to Ernie Barnes, Director of Producer Relations with the National Pork Board, the program is now expanding overseas and reaching veterinary students at St. George's University in Grenada, West Indies.
Dr. Melissa Billing, a veterinarian with Boehringer Ingelheim that lives in Ohio, did a virtual tour tied in with South Dakota State University student that showed the farm. Really interesting talk about driving home while we take care of our pigs. It was 78 degrees in the West Indies. It was minus 21 at South Dakota State. So a 100 degree difference in temperature. It drove home the point why we keep pigs indoors in this type of weather in the Midwest.
Operation Main Street now utilizes technology to tour a farm and see what is happening in the barn that day. Barnes says 55 speakers have given about 100 virtual tours with the help of South Dakota State University and its new swine education farm.
We had different audiences telling us, can we see inside a pig barn? What does it look like? And some Operation Main Street speakers made pictures of their own farm, et cetera. Then when we heard about the research facility and the educational opportunities that Dr. Bob Toller was wanting to do at South Dakota State, we went to him and asked, are students running this? And he said, absolutely. I said, could we train these students to be Operation Main Street speakers, but when they're given a tour, tie in with an Operation Main Street speaker?
Barnes says pig farmers realize the importance of building an understanding of pig farming.
Hopefully we're doing a good job for pork producers, helping that direct connection to the pork industry and proving that we don't have anything to hide. We want them to see how we're taking care of our animals, that we truly believe it's the right thing to do.
For more information about pork production or to book an Operation Main Street virtual tour, check out pork.org. And as always, if you have topics you would like us to know about here on American Ag Today, you could send me an email at jesseallen@americanagnetwork.com. That's J-E-S-S-E-A-L-L-E-N @americanagnetwork.com. This has been another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great day.